الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم المرسلين حبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فكيف إذا أصابتهم مصيبة بما قدمت أيديهم ثم جاءوك يحلفون بالله إن أردنا إلا إحسانا وتوفيقا؟ أولئك الذين يعلم الله ما في قلوبهم فأعرض عنهم وعظهم وقل لهم في أنفسهم قولا بليغا. وما أرسلنا من رسول إلا ليطاع بإذن الله، ولو أنهم إذ ظلموا أنفسهم جاءوك فاستغفروا الله واستغفر لهم الرسول لوجدوا الله توابا رحيما. صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders, in this verse that I've recited before you, which passed in tonight's Taraweeh, this ayat was revealed regarding certain munafiqeen and hypocrites who built a masjid by the name Dhirar, Masjidul Dhirar, which was situated very near the outskirts of Madina Munawwara. And the sole aim and purpose for building this masjid was none other but to cause conflict and dissension amongst the Muslims, and of course to oppose the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam via wahi regarding the hidden agendas of these hypocrites and the plan they had in mind behind building this masjid. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded a sahabi by the name of Malik bin Dukhshum radiallahu anhu warza, instructed him to go and demolish this masjid and raise it to the ground. Thereafter, the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they began coming into the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they began to swear oaths in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking several qasams by Allah, in the name of Allah Rabbul Izzat, that they only intended good. They had no other intention, no other hidden agenda behind building this masjid called Masjid al-Dhirar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to turn away from them and not to pay any attention to what they have to say. فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ وَعِذْهُمْ وَقُلْ لَهُمْ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَوْلًا بَلِيغًا. Thereafter, in the next verse, Allah mentions a general law, a general principle, which is وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولِ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not send any messenger or prophet to this world except so that he may be obeyed by his followers through the permission and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the purpose for sending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to this world is for you and I to obey him, to follow his way of life, to follow and mimic and imitate his lifestyle, and adopt every sunnah of his into our life. Thereafter, Allah says, had the munafiqeen and hypocrites, or the wrongdoers in general, had they come before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then sought Allah's forgiveness, made istighfar, asked Allah for forgiveness, and then requested the Nabi of Allah to ask Allah to forgive them, had they sought the Messenger of Allah to make istighfar on their behalf? So firstly, they made istighfar, had they made istighfar on their own, and then asked the Nabi of Allah to make istighfar on their behalf, to ask Allah to forgive them, Allah says most certainly they would have found Allah to be very merciful, very forgiving. Allah would have surely forgiven all their sins. Under the commentary of this verse, Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimullah, a very great commentator and exegesis of the Quran, a profound scholar of his time, he narrates a very famous incident of a pious man by the name Atabi. And this incident is quite famous. And a very great alim and scholar by the name of Abu Mansur al-Sabbagh, he has compiled an entire book just on this incident. And he named the book Al-Hikayatul Mashura an al-Atabi. Nevertheless, Ibn Kathir rahimullah writes that once Atabi was sitting very near the qabr and the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he noticed a very simple, downtrodden Bedouin Arabi entering the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And he then came and presented himself before the qabr and the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he recited this following verse, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَابًا رَحِيمًا. And up to this day and age, this verse is written down on top of the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or very near the grave. And then he addressed the Nabi of Allah saying, جِئْتُكَ مُسْتَشْفِعًا مُسْتَغْفِرًا. I have come to you seeking your shafa'at, seeking your intercession on my behalf, and I've come to you asking you to ask Allah to forgive me, to make istighfar on my behalf. And thereafter he recited a few couplets, when he praised the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, يَا خَيْرَ مَنْ دُفِنَتْ بِالْقَاءِ أَعْظُمُهُ فَطَابَ مِنْ طِيبِهِنَّ الْقَاعُ وَالْأَكَمُ. Oh, the most noble human to ever be buried in this sacred land of Medina Munawwara. فَطَابَ مِنْ طِيبِهِنَّ الْقَاعُ وَالْأَكَمُ. The entire land of Medina Munawwara, all the hillocks and the mountain peaks of Medina Munawwara are so blessed, so pure, so sacred, so pleasant due to the one buried in this city. Due to the body of that person who's buried in this city. نَفْسِ الْفِدَاءُ لِقَبْرٍ أَنْتَ سَاكِنُهُ. He then says, may my life be sacrificed for that grave in which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam resides in. فِيهِ الْعَفَافُ وَفِيهِ الْجُودُ وَالْكَرَمُ. In it lies total honor, respect, generosity, chastity. And then Atabi narrates, this Bedouin recited these few couplets, and then he left the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thereafter he mentions, فَغَلَبَتْ عَيْنَاي. I fell off to sleep, I dozed off, in which I saw a dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he instructed me and told me, oh Atabi, إِلْحَقِ الْأَعْرَابِ. Immediately go and catch that Arabi, catch that Bedouin, meet him and tell him, give him the glad tidings, the good news, أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ غَفَرَ لَهُ ذَنْبَهُ. Allah has forgiven all his sins. This is the very same verse which passed in tonight's Taraweeh, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the people, or commands the munafiqeen more specifically, to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make istighfar, ask Allah for forgiveness, and to request the Nabi of Allah to make istighfar on their behalf. Thereafter in the next verse, Allah takes a qasam on his name. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ. Allah swears an oath on his that, on his being. Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the qasam of your Rabb, by the qasam of your creator, they will never be true believers. They will never have complete or perfect iman until unless, hatta yuhakimuk, they make you their arbitrator. They judge in all their affairs, all the arguments, all the quarrels and disputes. And then they are happy and they are content with your decision, your judgment, your ruling. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتِ. And they don't find any difficulty in accepting your ruling or your judgment. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And they submit entirely and surrender totally to you. This verse was revealed regarding two people that lived in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had some altercation or some dispute regarding some land or property of theirs. One of them was a relative of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the name Zubair. He was actually the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the other was either a munafiq, a hypocrite, according to some scholars, and some say he was rather a new Muslim. Nevertheless, they had some argument, and then they brought their case to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they presented the entire case before him. And of course, the relative of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon haqq. He was true, he was correct in his argument. And the other opponent was incorrect. Therefore, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was forced and obliged to pass a judgment in favor of his relative. So when he passed this judgment or this verdict in favor of his cousin or his relative, and then because he was a close relative of his, so at the same time he encouraged him to forego part of his right for his Muslim brother, and not to take his full right. This was the akhlaq, the character, and the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the opposite party or the opponent heard this decision and this judgment given in favor of the relative of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, immediately he objected and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, an kana ibn amatik, an kana ibn amatik. No, no, I don't accept this judgment of yours. This judgment is based on favoritism. Wal'iyadu billah. You have favored your cousin and therefore you have given the ruling and verdict in favor of him." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam became really upset. And it is this story or this incident that took place which led to the revelation of the following verse. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُونَكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah takes a qasam, they will never have complete or perfect iman and faith until they make you their judge, their arbitrator in all their affairs and disputes. And then they accept your decision and they surrender and submit to your command, your judgment willingly, happily. In this verse, there's a very great lesson for you and I. That, like how it is greatly emphasized to adopt the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into our lives, to follow and imitate and copy or mimic the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, likewise to implement and adopt his sunnahs willingly, happily, not forcefully, to keep our trousers above our ankles, to lengthen our beard and the different sunnahs happily, because it is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this lifestyle is the most perfect, the most ashal, the most akmal, the most ajmal, the most perfect, beautiful, the most easy lifestyle. No other lifestyle leads a person towards success and happiness but the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to be proud ambassadors of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be proud flag bearers of Islam and proud ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And ulama mentioned very beautifully, like how in this day and age, it is the norm and the law of every country that prior to entering any country, a person requires two things. Number one, he requires a passport, and number two, a visa. If he only has a passport, no visa, he'll be refused entry into the country. He'll be sent back to his home country. Or vice versa, only visa, no passport. Of course, he'll be denied entry into that country. This is the norm, international law of the entire world. Except for a few countries. Likewise, this is the qanun, the law to enter Jannah. This is also the law to enter Jannah. We require the passport of Jannah and the visa of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed each one of us with the passport of Jannah for free, which is the kalima, la ilaha illallah. To bring firm conviction and faith and yaqeen in this kalima, that none is worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we all have the passport of Jannah in our hand. The only thing left for us to do is now to stamp the Muhammadi visa on our passport. Bring Muhammad Rasulullah into our lives. Follow and adopt every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into our life. And then we will earn the visa to enter Jannah. May Allah help us implement and adopt every single sunnah of his into our life. Be it minor or major, small or big. Every sunnah contains great barakat, great blessings, great anwarat. Great celestial light. May Allah help us copy and imitate the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam happily, willingly, not forcefully. May Allah grant us a beautiful month of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.